Reading that. Good morning again, congregation. How's everyone doing today? All right, well, I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret, all right? A little preacher secrets. It's my clicker. If I get up here to do the announcements and I say, all right, everyone, you know, meet and greet each other, that's the clue that it's a short sermon. All right, because if I knew I'm going long, then, you know, I'm not going to have y'all do that. That's just extra time. You get it? That's how. Now, I say that if the Holy Spirit comes over me, I don't know how long this might go. So just be prepared. We are continuing our journey through 1 Peter. We are in 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, and we're going to be in verses 4 through 12, actually through 10. But then we're going to be in some other places as well. I got most of those up on the board behind me here for you. And I like the scripture that we'll end with the scripture that Michael read for us, but kind of ended with this idea of us being God's household and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And so that's what I want us to look at, is this idea of being God's household. Before Jesus, right, if you were to think of God's house, where God dwelled, you would think of the temple. Right. And then, of course, when Jesus came, he said, tear down this temple and I'll build it in 3 days. And they think he's talking about this magnificent building. I don't know why I'm pointing over here. In my mind, Jesus is saying it, but I don't know where the temple would have been when Jesus said that. He's talking about the temple, but he's talking about what? Himself. Right. That he is the temple of God, that God is dwelling amongst man in Jesus. And then Jesus goes on, right? He's killed on the cross. He is resurrected. He's with his apostles and others for about 40 days, and then he goes on. But he's told the apostles, keep my teachings, obey my commands. My Father and I will come and dwell within you, that we'll live within you. So how does God dwell in this world now? It's through us. It's the church. This is an amazing concept, right? It's a beautiful concept. And it's something that I think we need to understand more and more to get our purpose. What was the purpose of the temple? It was where God and man could connect, right? Where man could come before God. And then Jesus, he was that, right? God on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. How do you want to, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And so now here we are, the church, and this is our role. We are the light unto the world for this reason. We are how people can come to know God. Of course, it happens through Jesus Christ, and we are telling others this. We are this priesthood to the world. We have a major role. And so that's kind of what we're going to look at today. I have a few scriptures here to kind of plant this idea that we are God's household. The first one being in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I hope to come to you soon. I'm writing you these instructions so that if I'm delayed, and he's been writing instructions on how people should live, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. He's not saying when they're in the temple, or in our context, when they are in the church building, right? This is not God's household here. How we are God's household. And so there's a way in which we should live recognizing who we are and that we are God's household. He says how they ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God. All right, so the church, the people, again, not the building, right? Us, the community of believers, we are God's household, the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth, that being God, not us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I have 16 and 17 up here, but right before this in verse 9, Paul says, we are God's building. He says, at first he says, we're God's field. He's making a point. And then he says, we are God's building. And he runs with that idea. God's building. What, the temple? Well, no longer. It no longer exists, right? We are that temple. And then he says in verse 16 and 17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? An amazing concept. None of us, if we were alive back then when the temple existed, would have been able to go into the Holy of Holies, right? Some of us would have been able to go into the first court, some of us into the second court, some into the inner area, but none of us into the Holy of Holies. Some of us from the outside, we would not have gotten to go too far into the temple area to see what it was all about. But it would have sat up on a hill. At night, it would have been lit up. It would have been beautiful. It would have been the main focus of the city of Jerusalem. If we didn't live in Jerusalem, we would travel 3 times a year to Jerusalem to come to this temple to offer sacrifice. It shed its light. The idea was that the world was supposed to be drawn to it. And now Paul says, we are that temple. That's what we should be in this world around us. We are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. God's Spirit dwells in your midst. You know, oftentimes I can go throughout my day, I can go throughout my week, I can go through church service, right? And I don't even think about the Spirit of God dwelling within me. When I'm not thinking about that, I'm missing out, right? I need to have that in my mind. I need to have that understanding that the Spirit of God dwelling within me, the Spirit of God dwelling amongst us now as we are together, this temple, this is huge. This is not something that should constantly be on our minds, right? It should motivate how we act, how we speak to one another, how I engage myself with other people in every situation that I am, that I am a temple. God's Spirit is within me, and I should be this temple to the world. Right? That when people interact with me, when people interact with us, the church, they should have an interaction with God. Now, that's a thing we got to be careful with on how we say that, right? Not that I am God or anything like that, or everything I do is from God. No, but I should make myself available to be used by God to shine that light for other people. He goes on to say, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. And I know we might be thinking, you know, you're just reading this out of context, you might have the idea that when people fight against the church or fighting against God, that is true, but specifically what he's looking at is from the inside. When we are not united, when we are not together, when we tear one another down, we are tearing down God's temple. When I want my way over your way, I'm doing my part to tear down God's temple. And I don't want to be about that. All right. So here we are. We're going to get now into 1 Peter chapter 2 with this understanding that we together as the community of believers are God's temple, where he dwells, his place, how he affects the world, right? How he shines his light onto the world, how he interacts with the world. He's using us. So in verse 4, Peter writes, as you come to him, the living stone, he's talking about Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God. And of course, he's going to reference some Old Testament prophecy here, but the idea that Jesus is the stone that the builders have rejected. He's not what we want for our temple, but he indeed is the cornerstone, right? He was chosen, rejected by humans, but chosen by God. He says, and precious to him. You come to Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We are being built into a spiritual house. And I love this idea that it's not complete. It's daily being added on to. Right, that we are these stones in God's house. That is my place. Right, I'm helping build up this temple that God dwells in. We are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Have you thought of yourself in that way? You know, when I hear the word priest, I think of Old Testament. Right, I think of the Levites who could be priests. Not everyone could be priests. Only a certain group of people. And the priests were those that go between God and man. Right? That's what they did. They went between God and man. And of course, there was a high priest that offered sacrifice on behalf of all people. And he was the one once a year that could go into the Holy of Holies. Anyone else was not allowed to do that, right? Today, we have priests in certain denominations. They have people that are priests, and their goal is to go between God and man. The book of Hebrews tells us, though, that we only have one high priest, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the go-between. Jesus Christ is the one that goes between God and man on our behalf. But we are a priesthood, not me because I'm the minister, not the elders, but all of us are priests. In the sense that we are the ones that help bring people to Jesus. We are the go-between. How is God going to reach out to this world of darkness that does not know him, his own enemies? How does it happen? Through you and through me. We are the go-between. That is our role as stones in this household. We are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. This is not a title of honor where, you know, look up to me because I'm a priest. It's a title of servanthood. That's what it's about, that I'm willing to sacrifice of myself so that you can know who God is, so you can come into this relationship with Jesus Christ. He says we offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices. I'm not called to sacrifice an animal or anything else. I sacrifice of myself. I give up of my time. I give up of my energy. I give up of my ego and myself and my hopes and my dreams and, you know, everything the opposite of the world says I should be, right? Live this life for me. I only get one life, right? So make it count. I'm giving that up for a better life. Rather than trying to build my own little sandcastle that I want to live in, I would rather be a stone in God's house that is eternal, that won't be knocked down. I want a sacrifice of myself so that you too could be a stone in that household, right? That should be our mindset. We're being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And he's going to quote some Old Testament scripture here saying, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone." That's Jesus, a cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. It is secure. It is aligned the way it is supposed to be aligned. And if we trust in it, we won't be put to shame. Verse 7, he says, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, it's the stone the builders have rejected. But it has become the cornerstone. And it's a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." To those that don't believe, it causes men to stumble and it causes them to fall. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 and 20. "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers." Right? We're not foreigners to God. We're not outside of his community. We're not outside of his kingdom. Because of Jesus Christ, we're brought into it. And not only that, we are fellow citizens with God's people. We are a part of God's people. We're also members of his household, this community, this church. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They laid the foundation. They did the groundwork. Last week, we talked about all that the prophets did for our benefit, not even knowing what they were doing, right? They were laying the foundation. The apostles were laying the foundation. Jesus told Peter, right? "You are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church." Right? So they were the foundation. They spread the word. They set it up for us. But then look, you would think Jesus would be the foundation. And of course, in other scriptures, he is spoken of in that way. But in this building, he's the chief cornerstone. He's one of us, right? He became a human and he showed us how we are to live. He himself is the chief cornerstone. What's the point of a cornerstone? Right? It's to set the standard for how the building is supposed to be, right? Every other stone must be lined up with the cornerstone. If the cornerstone is off, the entire building will be off. But as long as it's straight and everyone's lined up with it perfectly, the building will be secure. And that is who Jesus is. We line ourselves up as stones in his household with him. If we are not aligned with him, we're not going to be a good part of the building, are we? He says in verse 9, Peter says in chapter 2, verse 9, "You're chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." He's saying this. This is nothing new. This is what God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 7. "You're a people holy to the Lord. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." And now Peter's saying that this applies to us. Not because we keep the law of Moses, but because Jesus Christ died for us to be included in this family as a part of God's people. So Peter's pulling from Deuteronomy 7 when he says, "You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." That is how we live as stones in God's household. Right? That's what we're called to do, to declare the praises of Jesus Christ who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. He says in verse 10, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so we're in this house, and this is how we should live, to line ourselves up with the chief cornerstone, with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I was there before, verses 16 and 17, and right before that, Paul says, "If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, straw. You want a house made of straw? You want a house made of wood? This is a, you know, Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs stuff right here, right? There's biblical teachings in those fairy tales, right? What kind of stone are we going to be? It's going to be shown. Whatever we choose, whatever type of stone we want to be, do we want to be made of something costly? Do we want to be gold, silver? Or do we want to be something that can be blown away with a storm? Hay or straw, whatever it is, our work will be shown because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. This is your life, right? Your duty in the church, your job, your part of your kingdom, being a stone in this house, what kind of stone are you going to be? And if you're to look at Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, what kind of stone was he? To say no to temptation, to follow God's will to completion, to serve other people, to lower himself, to humble himself, even though he is above all, him to lower himself. This is the standard that's been set, is Jesus. This is what we try to live into. I can make a lot of excuses. Well, you know, that's Jesus. Who am I? I can try to make excuses to be hay, to be straw. What good's it going to be? Right? My work is going to be shown. Maybe I can fool some people. Maybe I can fool myself. But when the daylight comes, when there's fire, my work will be shown for what it really is. I need to strive with everything that I have, not to be saved. The salvation has already happened through the death of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to earn any salvation. I've already been invited into this household. I've accepted the invitation of Jesus Christ to be a part of this kingdom when I was baptized, when I confessed him as Lord. I'm in. Now, how hard am I going to work in that kingdom now? Do I really want to be a stone that lines up with Jesus Christ that others can be stacked on top of, that I can support other people in this? Or do I just kind of want to be, you know, maybe use me for the shed? You know, put me out there. I'm a lean-to. You know, maybe I'll just be an extra part on the outside. What kind of stone are we going to be? It's our choice. I don't look around and say, well, some people were blessed with this talent and another. I don't really have anything, so I'm just going to sit back. It's going to be revealed. Don't fool yourself. The power comes from Jesus Christ, right? The power comes from God's Spirit. Make the choice to align yourself with Jesus Christ, to be a stone that builds into his community, into his kingdom, into his household. Line yourselves up with Jesus. Ephesians, back to Ephesians. We're just there, flipping back and forth between 1 Corinthians and Ephesians here, in case you didn't catch that. Ephesians chapter 2, 21 and 22, which Michael read this also. In him, the whole building is joined together. In him, in Jesus Christ, it's joined together. What keeps us together? What keeps me and you, sorry, English teachers, what keeps you and me united? What keeps us together? Jesus Christ, right? If you line up with Jesus Christ, and I line up with Jesus Christ, and they line up with Jesus Christ, we're united in this. But if we want to start to get off, if we want to have these differences, we're no longer united. If I'm looking for my own way, my own righteousness, my own benefit, right? If I'm looking at these things, I'm no longer lined up with Jesus, and guess what? I'm not going to be able to line up with you. Or maybe you and I could line up, but we're not lined up with Jesus. They are, or maybe they're not. The building is not going to look right, right? It's not going to look right. And so if the temple that was built on Mount Zion in Jerusalem was ugly, was misshapen, right? One side was taller than the other side, and you might think, that's a nice, well, what kind of temple is that? What kind of God dwells in that home, right? It might not attract anyone. When the church, God's household today, is not lined up, when we don't get along, when we fight, when we point, when we bicker, when we discourage each other, what kind of building do we look like to this world that we're supposed to shine the light out to? We look ugly, and we look misshapen, and we don't attract anyone. Jesus says, all men will know that you're my disciples when you love one another. We want to look like a beautiful building. We need to align ourselves with Jesus Christ. He's the one who joins us all together. In him, the whole building's joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. That's you and me. What an amazing gift God gives us to be able to be this, right? This very central figure of the Jewish religion, right? In ancient times and in Jesus' life, this temple, we get to be that, Right? We get to be that. God dwells in us. It's an amazing thought. In Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Did you get that? We are being built together. By myself, if I'm a stone, what am I? I'm a stone. I remember I had a house that I used to live in. In the back, there was like some concrete stones back there. I don't know what the owner before me wanted them for or had them or anything, but I thought, that's pretty neat. You know, I wanted to do something with them. I didn't, you know, it sounds kind of silly. I know, it's just a big, heavy concrete stone. But I thought it was cool, and I thought, man, that could be useful for something. The problem was I didn't know what it was useful for. And it was really heavy and hard to move around. Guess what? Guess where they're at now? In the backyard where I left when I moved out of that house, and maybe the new owner can do something with them. If I'm a lone Christian, if I'm not together with other stones, that's all I am. Maybe I'm good for a step, you know, maybe I'm good to hold a paperweight or something, but that's the extent of it. We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Our relationships with each other matter. Our relationships with other Christians outside of this specific building matter. Because when we join together to become a beautiful building, we, in a sense, become the way in which the world who does not know Jesus can come to know Him. That's what our role is. We are called to be stones in His household. It's up to us what kind of stone we're going to be and if we're going to be stones together or if we're just going to be a bunch of stones slayed apart. One time Jesus was with His apostles and they're on the Mount of Olives and they're looking out across over and they see Jerusalem, and up on Jerusalem is the temple, and it's a probably sunset and it's beautiful and the light's hitting it just right and the white stones are shining, and His apostles tell Him, man, Jesus, look at these amazing stones. Look how big they are. Look how beautiful this building is. And Jesus tells them, I tell you the truth, not one of these stones is going to be standing on top of one another. They're going to be destroyed. And sure enough, that's what happened. When the Romans came in, they destroyed the temple. They turned over every stone, and not a single stone was left standing on top of another stone. When we fight, when we're not united, when we barely work, we barely try, we're just a bunch of hay and wood, that's all we are. That's all we are, is a bunch of rubble. Not good for anything. But when we trust in God, when we allow Him to use us, when we make spiritual sacrifices, when we put others first, when we love one another, we rise up because of Jesus Christ to become a beautiful building for this world that draws in others. And an amazing thought, that it draws in enemies of God, not to destroy them, but to add them to the building. Because they can be stones too. Because this building is continuing to grow. God's kingdom is continuing to build, and we get to be a part of that. The invitation is offered to you this morning. If you want to be a stone made of gold or silver or something useful, if you want to be united with Jesus Christ, if you've been opposed to this building, if you've been attacking this building, if you've been an enemy of God's, that can change. When it's all said and done, and when the light of day comes and the storm comes and the fire rains down, there's only going to be one building left standing. The only stones that will remain are going to be those that are in this building, not this building. The spiritual building, right? This temple that we are. Those that are aligned with Jesus Christ. And you can have that offer of salvation, that offer of eternity, that offer of being with Jesus, with God, with everyone of His followers together forever. That's the promise to us. And that offer stands to you now as we stand and sing.